thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. We ask you, Lord, that as we have this class here today, that your Holy Spirit would just inspire and give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us. And not only just what you speak to us, Father, but let us go forth and literally be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Brother Oscar, you weren't here last week. I
listened to the Sunday school message.
What's that?
I said I was. I listened to the Sunday
school. Oh, you did? Okay. Well, yeah, we got to about Mosteller Road, and I went, I don't think I packed my laptop. Is my laptop in the back seat? And she said, no. I said, okay, Lord, it's up to you.
Wonderful, though, wasn't it?
It was good. It was.
But it was just, we were all just the sound of many waters. We all came together as one in one accord, and we had a good old time in the Lord.
She wasn't able to come today, but she was so encouraged. She really, the message, she said, I just wanted to hear the message that you
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, God can do it.
Margaret showed me the CD, and she says,
what's this?
What does it mean?
Kurt decided to title it.
Because it said, what did it say? It said, I can't think of the word.
Various or something.
No, it said like ad lib.
Oh.
I said, well, I listened to it. So I said, yeah, that's what you should write on there.
That's funny. I didn't know that's what he wrote on there. I know he named it because I didn't. Anyway, sometimes it's fun to have a little fun in the Lord. We had some fun, so that's the main
thing.
That's
a nice thing about Curtis. He's good at putting those on the internet.
Yeah, he gets them up quick.
And if you want to go on and listen to them within a day or two.
Yeah, he's really good at that. Thank you, Curtis.
I listened to both of them, to the Sunday School and March message, but good, both of them.
Yeah, he did good.
Well, anyway, we're back in Psalms 89 this week. And if I could get someone to read 8 to 14, that would be awesome.
King James, okay.
Anything is fine. We'll probably hit a couple of them, so yeah, sure.
O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face.
I mean, when I hear that, the song just, my God is an awesome God. My God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. My God is an awesome God. That's what we just read here, is what an awesome, the word awesome is just used way too much in our vernacular of English in the United States. I mean, but that car is awesome. No, God's awesome. That team's awesome, man. They're number one. No, they're not awesome. My God's awesome. That's awesome. It's just way overused. But when you really think how awesome our God is, whoo, man, you just read that little passage there and you go, our God is an awesome, awesome God. Anybody else want to read it in a different?
I will.
Okay.
It says, O Lord, God of hosts, who is a mighty one like unto you,
woo,
O Lord? And your faithfulness is round about you and a central part of you at all times. You rule the raging of the sea when its waves arise. You still them. You have broken Rahab, Egypt, in pieces with your mighty arm, and you have scattered your enemies. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is
all
in it, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Mount Tabor. Tabor and Mount Hermon joyously praise your name. Mm. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand. Your right hand is soaring high. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and loving kindness and truth go before your face.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Amen.
Well, we kind of talked about some of the first part of that, so I'm going to go to Psalms 89:10. It's really interesting. In fact, this whole passage, there's some really neat stuff in it. But thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, and that's not Rahab the harlot. Okay, we've read that this was in a couple of Psalms back that when I looked it up, I automatically thought it was Rahab the harlot, you know, but it wasn't back then and it isn't in this one either. To really break it down, Strong gives one word, breath. And that got my juices going. I said, okay, I got to figure out, what breath? B-R-E-A-T-H. So, you know, then I went on and I had to define breath, which I knew it was width, but the distance or measurement from side to side of something, which is the width, and then a synonym is broadness, wideness. So, you know, then it started making sense. You know, he wants to break down the broadness in our life and get us back on that path. So when, boy, you're prophesying over my next scripture here. No, but it says, you know, that enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Now, a lot of people want you to believe that means the lost. It does mean the lost. It means everybody, I think. I think when you're talking about this scripture, I think it could relate to anybody, you know. And we want some things to be destructive. We want destruction to come to some things. There's no question about it. But we don't want to do it out of disobedience. We don't want to do it out of not obeying God and doing what he tells us to do. So, but it does say many, many there will go that direction. And even as kids, you know, we look at our kids and we go, we want them to walk that straight and narrow. We don't want them to do drugs. We don't want them to drink, you know, unresponsibly before they're of age and whatever. And we don't want them to race around in the car. I mean, there's a lot of things we don't want our kids to do. But guess what? A lot of them will do this and that or push the envelope or come to that line. Maybe not cross that line. I think Tyler, he never crosses the line, but I think sometimes he'll go up to it. That's just human nature, and that's just the way kids are. I mean, they're wired that way. You tell a little kid, don't touch that hot stove, you know. So let's go back to that word Rahab. It means breath, but it also means storm. The storms in our lives, it means arrogance. It means a mythical sea monster. And what I was reminded when I read that is, you ever heard of the green-eyed monster? Yeah. So you know, that's part of arrogance. That's, you know, jealousy, envy, pride, insolence. This is all what God is breaking the pieces in our life. You know, you look at that and you say, Rahab's getting broke to pieces. It's like, that sounds like that's a pretty negative situation. But no, it's not. It's a very positive thing. You know, the plagues, when the Israelites were in Egypt, the plagues were there. And God used the plagues to get them out of Egypt. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, God uses the vials to get Egypt out of us. So even the vials that so many of these eschatology experts, you know, talk about the end of the world and all this, no, that even the vials are good. Even the vials have a purpose that's for our good. But you don't hear that a lot out there, and so they think the vials are the same as the plagues. It's all bad. Well, we talked about that last week. It's not all bad. It's all God, especially if you're with him. Now, 1 Peter, anybody want to say anything before I get into 1 Peter? And there's a lot of really good stuff that relates in 1 Peter. Anybody have any comments or questions? Not questions, but comments or insights? Okay. If you want to go to 1 Peter... 1, I think it's 1, I didn't write it down. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. This is a little long, but it's so good. And this is out of the expanded version, which I like more and more every week. I get into it. Praise be to and blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In God's great abundant mercy, he has caused us to be born again. I like that. He has caused us. Mm-hmm. You know, people think they choose Jesus. Well, God first loved you. Into a living hope because Jesus Christ rose, or by means of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we hope for, or this new birth provides us with, the blessings God has for his children, the inheritance. These blessings, or this inheritance, which cannot be destroyed or spoiled, corrupted or defiled, or lose their beauty, are kept in heaven for you. God's power protects you through your faith until salvation is shown to you, or the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. I like that too. At the end of time, or in the last time, this makes you very happy, or you rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, different kinds of troubles may make you sad. You have had to suffer various kinds of trials and testings. You have to, it says. Whoa. Again, talk about like what we were talking about last week. These troubles, trials and testings, come to prove that your faith is pure, to test and prove the authenticity of your faith, a test that proves the genuineness of a valuable metal. This purity of faith, or faith tested and proven authenticity, is worth more precious, more valuable than gold, which can be proved to be pure by fire, but can or will be destroyed. But the purity of your faith will bring you praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is shown to you, or in you. You have not seen Christ, but still you love him. You cannot see him now, but you believe in him. So you are filled with a joy that cannot be explained, a joy full of glory, an inexpressible and glorious joy, and you are receiving the goal, the outcome, the purpose of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So that means every single thing, back to that awesome God we serve, every single thing has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And like we were saying last week, count it all joy. Is it easy? No, we talked about that too. But it's something that that the trials have a purpose. And then he goes on in chapter 4 and says, in verse 12, it says, "My friends, do not be surprised at the terrible trouble, the fiery ordeal, which now comes to test you." Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. It's going to come. But guess what? He's there all the time. He's there. He makes a way of escape. He does all of it. You know, we just have to trust in him. Do not think that something strange is happening to you, but be happy. Rejoice that you are sharing in Christ's sufferings so that you will be happy and full of joy when Christ comes again in glory at the revelation of his glory. And then 2 Peter 2, it says, in verse 9, it says, "So you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials." That brings it all to the end. It's like, he knows, I mean, whatever you're going through, he knows how to rescue you. He knows how to bring you to that point where, mission accomplished, let's move on. So, I'm going to be quiet, and Mike, go ahead, take the floor.
We want a song and dance.
Anybody? You guys were quiet. You guys were all talkative last Sunday. Okay. I guess that's it for Rahab. Last thing I'll say about Rahab is this, that that it says that they have broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Well, if you're slain, what? If you're slain, are you dead? Is that what that word means? I mean, are you dead? So if you're dead, then let's act like we're dead. Let's be dead.
Ooh, you know what that reminds me of? Dead people don't react.
Dead people don't tell any tales, do they?
Don't tell a lie.
What's that it?
That's what it is.
That's what it is. I knew there was something on that one. An old Western
people
or something.
Don't lie.
But you know what it says? If we allow the Lord to break all this off of us and die to Christ, and his death is our death, that, you know, it says you must die once. Well, let's die with Christ, and that'll be our once, and then we can move on. But it says, "Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm." So, you know, if we allow all that to happen, guess what? He's going to take care of it all. We don't have to do anything but just allow him to do what he's going to do in our lives. He's going to scatter our enemies. That's a good thing. With his strong arm, we're going to talk about his arm here in a little bit. So.
We have to be able to identify our enemies. I think a lot of times we don't know who our enemies really are. They're in our mind, but they're really not. They may not really be our enemies. We have to be very careful, I believe, to determine who is and who isn't.
That's back to that good and bad thing. You know, where, oh, well, that's bad. No, that's good.
That's right.
At the time, it may seem like an enemy, but it's an enemy that has a plan and a purpose to make us better. Okay, let's go down to verse 12, Psalms 89:12. "The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name." Okay, and looking up, let's go with south first, even though it says north first. South is the right hand, the right side. It tends to be, again, for all, who's left-handed here? Okay, so please don't take offense to this. But it says, as the stronger or more dexterous part of our body, the right side. That's what they said. I didn't say that, so. And so you have the right side and you have the left side. So if south represents the right side, what represents the left side? Okay? And also on the south is the right hand of God, of course, and the we all know that Benjamin is the son of the right hand. So,
weren't all most of the Benjamites left-handed, though?
You know, I didn't know that.
They were.
Isn't that amazing? They were left-handed.
They were all left-handed? All left-handed.
Yeah. So you guys might be from the tribe of Benjamin.
We put our left-handed on the
That's right. If the left came to the negative side, you put it in the positive, and the power of God grows to flow through it.
Mm-hmm. More great warriors.
All right.
If you ever go back in the Old Testament and read about the priests, what they were supposed to do, if someone had excuse me, leprosy or something like that, I believe they were to pour the oil in their left hand and take the finger of their right hand and put it in the oil and then anoint. And God has to flow into your negative areas. If you know, the natural laws of energy and electricity or anything else is the positive flows through and then comes back through a negative. There has to be a negative because it can't complete the cycle if there isn't a negative. And our negativity and our problems, God flows into those things, but we have to be willing to put the left hand in his right hand, give it to him, you know. And our problem is that sometimes we want to hold it back. We don't want to give it to him.
I remember when I was in the eighth grade, I write left-handed. And I broke my left hand. And I had to learn how to write with my right hand because the nun would wail on me if I wasn't writing.
I did the same thing in the third grade, except it was my right arm, and I had to learn to write my left.
And how difficult that was to do, you know.
Yeah.
I think back about that a lot sometimes. You know, how hard was that to do? Something that was totally against everything that I ever knew.
And it will make you be ambidextrous. After a while, you'll be able to use the right or the left.
I think that's what God does to us. He puts us in situations where it's totally against everything we thought we knew, and he puts us where we have to learn his way.
I have a friend who was raised Catholic, and she said the nuns, she wanted to be left-handed. I mean, that was her natural inclination. They made her sit on her left hand and use her right hand because it was supposed to be, you know, not quite right to be lefty.
I heard a nun give a testimony that this person was left-handed, and this nun gave this testimony, and she was kind of railing on the Catholic Church to a certain extent, but she had been a nun, and she had since come out of the Catholic Church, and she said they would tell her that the devil was in there.
Yeah.
It was the devil.
Because they were left-handed.
Yeah, all kinds of things. And
that's sad.
And when they were in the convent, they were mistreated something awful. You know, it was pretty sad, that testimony she gave.
So they were outcasts, considered outcasts.
Well, and almost like they were imprisoned in there, and they couldn't get out.
Wow.
Once they had made their vows and stuff. This was cloistered nuns, you know, like cloistered type nuns.
See, I was always jealous of left-handed people because in basketball, if you're left-handed, you have an advantage. And also in baseball, too, with batting left-handed, yeah.
That's because there's so few people that are
right.
If you're a pitcher. But everything in life is geared toward right-handed people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I worked in a machine shop, and I taught people sometimes that run machinery, and left-handed people had to reach across their body and do things like this, and to turn knobs and do things. And, you know, it was very awkward for them, you know. And, you know, it's, everything's geared toward a right-handed person. Where's all the controls on your car like that?
Yeah.
Usually on the right-hand side. You want to turn
some
the
on the left, but most on the right.
Left hand. If you do, you get, you know, or something, you know, or your heater or all that stuff.
It's true.
You know what the left is for the finger?
Mm-mm.
You know, the Latin, the right hand is dexterous.
Mm-hmm.
The Latin for left hand is sinister.
Well.
Interesting. Well, when you mentioned something about putting the oil in the left hand and I did a study in this year, I mean, probably 20 years ago in Leviticus 14. And it says, like the sin offering, the guilt offering belongs to the Lord. It is most holy. The priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed. Well, why do you think they put it on the right ear? So you can hear. It's a cleansing. So you can get all the noise and all the garbage out so that you can hear from the Lord. So you put it on the right earlobe. Because that's where how you hear. And the life is in the blood. So, yeah, there is no forgiveness of sin, remission of sins without the shedding of blood. So the shedding of blood not only cleanses, but gives you the ability, has power, you know, the power of the blood, like we sing about Jesus' blood. So the right ear so they could hear. And then it goes on to say, on the thumb of the right hand and on the big toe and the right foot. So now you got the thumb. So what's that? It's what you put your hands to. You know, anything you're putting your hands to, you're going to definitely use your right thumb, especially if you're right-handed. So it said the right thumb and the right foot. I think in the King James says right toe, but anyway. So why the toe? Why the foot? That's your walk. Yeah. So you got your walk. The priest shall then take some of the log of oil, pour it in the palm of his own left hand, dip his right forefinger into the oil in his palm, and with his finger sprinkle some of it before the Lord seven times. Remember, before they could go into the holiest place of all, Holy of Holies, they had to sprinkle that blood seven times before the mercy seat and on the mercy seat. There's just so much to this, but anyway, we're just doing it quick. The priest is to put some of the oil remaining in his palm on the lobe of the right ear. Okay, so now that you're cleansed, the oil represents the anointing. So now that you're cleansed, now let's really get filled with the Lord and get that anointing. So then he puts it on the right ear of the one to be cleansed and the thumb of the right hand and the big toe of the right foot on top of the blood of the guilt offering. The rest of the oil in his palm and the priest shall put on the head to the one being cleansed and make atonement for them before the Lord. So why on the head? It's where you think. So he's, you know, basically just like when the oil came across Aaron from the head all the way down through the beard and all the way down. What an anointing, you know, and it all represents what we have every day. I mean, we, you know, you could actually symbolically do that, not saying go out and kill a bullock or something, but especially not Kenny. But, you know, make sure that, you know, you just feel that from head to toe, you're just covered in his presence. You're covered in all the God you can possibly absorb, all you can take, you know. But anyway, It's interesting you said that, because I haven't looked at Leviticus 14 in a long time, so.
Also, if you, I did some studying one time when I was going through Zechariah and some of the books I was teaching through. The right hand also means the pleasant, and it means the southern. And word of people go on vacation.
Down south.
You go down south. Why? It's because it's more pleasant down there. And the word north means hidden and unknown. And always in Scripture, most of the time, the enemies came out of the north.
That was the next thing.
They came out of the north. It was the hidden and the unknown. But also, that's where, to be honest with you, that's where God's glory is going to come out of, too. The hidden and the unknown.
That's right.
It's the hidden man of the heart, you know. And that's why sometimes I've made the statement, I'll trade what I know for what I don't know. There's a lot we don't know. Not really, but, you know, because everything that you know is very essential to you. But we know a lot less than we know. You know what I mean? That's a funny way of saying that, but we actually know a lot less than what we think we know. You know?
That's the right statement.
Yeah.
That's exactly, I put it right here. It says lots of references are to the enemy coming from the north. You know, we're not going to turn to it, but you got Ezekiel 38.
Well, if you think about it.
And Ezekiel 38, you've got all these enemies, and they're all basically coming from the north. Gog, Magog, Tubal, Meshach, first verse. They're all coming against God's people, but where are they coming from? They're coming from the north, you know. So, yeah, that's good. And then, of course, the left hand is correction, right? So basically,
God always used the enemies to correct you.
Exactly.
And the enemies in your mind, your own, Scripture says your own iniquity will correct you. You know, so the very things that you do that you know is wrong will turn around and correct you, you know, because you'll suffer the, you know,
there's consequences.
Yeah, there is.
To sin, and those consequences doesn't mean God doesn't love you, doesn't mean God doesn't forgive you, doesn't mean that God isn't there. It just means, okay, son, you made your bed, now you're going to lay in.
Choose the behavior.
That's right.
Well, but, and see, that thing that was neat about what you said, what we were talking about Benjamin before. Benjamin, all the Benjamites were extremely skilled with their left hand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they said that they could throw a sling and hit a hair at a hair's breadth. You know, in other words, they could take a rock and put it in their sling and kill a hair way off by just slinging a rock at them with their left hand. And they were tremendous warriors. But yet, when you realize that it means son of the right hand, that means you have to put that negativity into God's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different times when Benjamites came against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And one time they were really defeated really bad because it wasn't God's purposes, you know. But, there's a lot. I'll tell you what, you could preach so many sermons on this whole thing here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just unreal how many references and things there is. You know, in Zechariah, when Zechariah had his revelation of the church, the candlestick, and he saw one standing on, there was an olive tree on the right side and one on the left side. And, you know, and really what that is a type of is a type of Jesus Christ standing on the right side, pouring oil into the church, and it's the sons of God standing on the left side, and they're pouring oil into the church, you know, but it's flowing through the church to them, and they're pouring it back in, and it says in the Amplified it was a ceaseless supply of oil. that's the anointing that we're all wanting to see.
Yeah.
But, you know, but also it talks about Joshua, and it talks about one side, I believe, and Zerubbabel was on the other side. And Zerubbabel means one born out of Babylon. And we've all been born out of confusion and out of the religious systems and all that stuff.
Religion.
Yeah, and we're born out of that. We have to be born out of that, get out of that, as God births us into his kingdom. I mean, when there's this, there's so much about
it. It's so good. This is definitely an interesting song, sure. Well, if you go to 89:13, it just continues what we've been speaking about. The north and the south and whatever, south meaning the right hand, it says, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand.
Can we go back to 13 for just a second?
Sure.
I looked up
that's
created.
13. Isn't that 13?
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the word created, he created the north and the south.
Oh, back to 12.
Oh, 12. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
One of the definitions for created is feed as formative processes. And to me, that's just saying he made the good places and the enemies specifically for your formative process.
That's good.
He chose them for you. Whatever, it's just like, is it good or is it bad? It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all God.
That's right.
And what might be, a real trial for Julie may not be a trial for me. And what might be a real trial for me may not be a trial at all for her. So God knows exactly what buttons to push to work it out of us.
What happens if we're not careful sometimes is the thing that you're strong in and somebody else is weak in, if you're not real careful, you have a tendency to be judgmental toward them because you say, well, I don't understand how they can do that. Well, that's because you're not walking in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But then they could look at you in certain areas and say, well, I don't understand how they could do that. You know what I mean? If the judgment was going back and forth. But the thing about it is that the Lord in Isaiah, he said, I created good and I created evil. Now, I mean, a lot of people get real upset at that. And he said, I, the Lord, have done all these things, And he basically is telling you, I'm in control. And he said, if you don't, you might as well believe it. And the word Lord means sovereign controller. Half the time people call Jesus Lord. And they don't, but yet they don't believe he's in control. They believe he's fighting with the devil and that someday he's going to overcome the devil. No, that's not the case. You know, he ain't fighting with the devil.
Mm-mm.
You are.
Yeah.
He's not. You know, and he's overcome the prince of this world. And
he defeated him with the cross.
The air. And we can overcome it by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. You know, and that's... That's what we have to do.
It's so interesting. When I got born again, I was brought into more of a charismatic type environment, Pentecostal, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And it was like they would be praying, and and I'm stepping on some toes, but that's okay. They'd be praying to God, and then right in the middle of a prayer, they'd talk to Satan. Take your hands off him, Satan, and all this stuff, and I'm like,
what?
Is that double-minded or what? Because you're having a prayer to the Lord who is the all-powerful one who has, the devil is like a grain of sand on a beach. The God's the beach, and they're sitting there talking to the devil. And it's like all those times I was taught to talk to the devil and whatever, I never saw any fruit in that, ever. Now I don't even acknowledge him. If someone says, do you believe in a devil? A defeated one. That's the only devil I believe in, And so, but it's just interesting how when you don't focus on that, your focus is on the Lord and you're single-eyed on him, you don't worry. All that stuff just goes away. It's like those things we were talking about where those things need to be broken. Those Rahabs need to be broken into pieces and sent away. And then who's going to get rid of your enemies? God.
Well, it's like that old story they used to tell about a guy walking down the street, and he sees the devil sitting on a curb, and he's crying. And he walks up and he says to the devil, he says, "What's wrong with you? Why are you crying?" He says, "Because I didn't get to do all those things they're playing for."
Yep, yep, that's for sure. Oh,
that's
boy.
The truth. Everybody wants to blame the devil.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
even Flip Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, that was funny. Okay, good stuff. All right. So God sends those testings from the north towards us. But guess what? We have a south, too, that we can... we can get into. So, okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read Ezekiel 38:6. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, as we were talking, and all his bands and many people with thee. Well, Gomer means complete. So is God using all these so-called enemies to complete us? Yes. Okay. Togarmah means, and it's so, you know, when I see something like this, I have to go, okay, Lord, you are truly amazing, because we're talking about breaking Rahab into pieces. Guess what Togarmah means? Thou wilt break her. Her. I love that. Her. What is our soul? What is the gender of our soul? What did David say that about her, his soul being a her? You know, what if you look it up? Is it a, what is the gender of the word? It's a female gender. Suke in the Greek. So I love that. It's like, thou wilt break her. And then, and these are all countries north of Israel. Who's Israel? So God uses the north and the south to complete that which he has started. So in order to complete a good work, he has to use the north and the south. They both are going to be used to bring about what he wants to bring about in each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. But if we look at them like we were talking up there, don't think it's strange that you're going to have trials and tribulation? I mean, come on. You know, like we said last week, you're never going to be in a situation where every possible thing is going exactly the way you want it to go. Has it ever happened to you yet? Probably won't until you have the mind of Christ. And when you have the mind of Christ and you think the way he thinks and your ways are like his ways, then guess what? None of that stuff can touch you. You can't get frustrated. You can't get offended. You can't get hurt. You can't get disappointed. You can't get any of that stuff, because it just slides right off of you. It doesn't have, you can't stick. None of it can stick.
You know, Rich, I shared a message one time about how Israel lined up in the Old Testament. Whenever they were camping, they would line up, and the, you know, the tabernacle in the wilderness was right in the middle. And then so many tribes were to line up to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. And they were so specific when God would tell them to do something that they literally would do they would do it to the letter to a certain extent. And that's why when he told them to take his word and wrap it upon your arm. Well, the priest went around with the word of God written on a leather strap wrapped around their arm, you know, and they did all that
they
stuff.
They still do it today.
And they wore the box on their head,
which
had the commandments in it, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So when he told them to line up north, south, and east, and west, they literally would line up like that. And if you look at the picture of what even, I'm trying to think of his name, Balaam looked down on the mountain at them when he was asked to curse Israel in the Old Testament, what he saw was the cross. And because that's the way they were lined up, you
know, amazing.
North, south, east, and west, and all different tribes. And it would, and the funny thing about it was, is that the north was up where the head of Jesus would have been. You know, if you lined it up, it would have been there, and the south would have been his feet.
Wow.
And the west, the east would have been his right hand, and the west would have been his left hand. I mean, you know, and you know, as the sun rises from what? The east and sets in the west, the completion of this thing will come across, you know. And I mean, it's so amazing because God's word is just so perfect when you look at it. I mean, and people that think that there's a whole lot of discrepancies in the Bible and all this stuff, there really isn't. If God shows you and you begin to really understand what's in there, it's just absolutely amazing.
It
north, south, east, west, all those different things. It's just absolutely amazing. And like you were saying, the meaning of those names, even things where he's going to deal with you in those areas,
yeah.
You know, I mean.
And there's 12 tribes of Israel in,
yeah.
In Revelation, and how Dan is taken out.
Yeah.
Judgment is taken out. It's like,
yeah.
If anybody sits there and says, man wrote this, then they're sadly mistaken. Man, there's not a Einstein out there that could write this book.
Yeah.
And
think about it, wasn't the same person that wrote all the different books, and they all fit together so perfectly when God reviewed
them. How many people wrote this book?
It's amazing.
It was one. It was the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, geez, right. It is truly amazing. Well,
yeah.
I guess we'll stop here. Linda, would you like to pray?
Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you reveal yourself to us, in us, and through us. May we be obedient to that which we have heard, and you walk in us everywhere that we go. Bless the next service, O God. May we hear what you're speaking. May we